Hello and welcome to Women in Retail Talks. I'm Ashley Taradio, Senior Content Strategist at the Women in Retail Leadership Circle. And today I'm joined by Sabina Khan, founder of Planet Nature, a sustainable online lifestyle retailer offering solely fair trade products made from locally sourced natural materials. Today we're going to be talking about responsible consumerism, some ways the pandemic called attention to retail sustainability, retail trends for 2021, and much more. So Sabina, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm really excited. Just really looking forward to it.
Great. So I gave a brief introduction, but I thought we could start by you telling us a little bit more about Planet Nature for our listeners who aren't familiar with the brand and its business model.
Yes, of course. As you said, Planet Nature is we are a solely online retailer, and we offer fair trade products and natural biodegradable materials. But what we are all about is bringing our customers closer to nature and people, as well as reducing their environmental impact. And our ethos are based on the following things. Number one is people. Number two is clean energy. Clean manufacturing, more like. And number three is challenging culture of consumption. And finally, we only use biodegradable new and existing materials. So we are all about materials and how we can use these materials to reduce water and plastic pollution and fight climate change. So if it's okay, I know it's a long introduction, but I just want to touch into one thing. Our second thing I talked about, clean manufacturing. And we as a brand want to establish ourselves and educate customers about clean eco-manufacturing, because all our products are made using clean eco-manufacturing processes. And you're going to be saying, why am I using that word so many times? It's because what I mean by that is we don't use excess water, electricity, and gas, and we only use green, clean energy in our manufacturing, because I feel that there's a blind spot. Like, we have a lot of attention with aviation emission, what kind of clean energy we want to use in our home, fossil fuel, but we have so much retail and manufacturing CO2 emission, but we don't talk about that that much. Because one thing I've seen is our market is flooded with eco-plastic products, and these products are made using raw materials, yes, which are biodegradable, but the whole process of manufacturing is they're made in an industrial factory powered by coal and fossil fuel. And that's creating CO2 emission and not reducing our climate change impact from manufacturing. So what we are doing is our artisan and craft peoples are making our products based on better manufacturing processes. And most of our products are handmade, and they're far superior than any machine products. And believe me, you have to just visit our website to see it. You'll be shocked thinking, are you sure these are handmade? But they are. And we want to do is make our products using clean manufacturing, because the fashion industry accounts for 10% of global emissions and 20% of water pollution. So that's what we are about.
That's so interesting. So you mentioned your products. What type of products are featured? And I know Planet Nature recently launched a fair trade product range from locally sourced. What type of products are featured?
Okay, let me answer this with our raw materials, what we use as raw materials, and then explain that and what product we make with that. So I'm just going to pick three materials. So number one is palm leaf. It's 100% natural and biodegradable, and it's one of the most abundant natural fiber available in tropical Southeast Asia. So it has some great qualities. It's strong, it looks good, this material is flexible. You don't need to use, like usually synthetic fiber, you have to, most of our products made with that and plastic, you have to use chemical to make it flexible. But with this palm leaf, you don't need to do that. And it's easy to work with if it's in the right hand. So we use that to make our palm leaf market baskets, wine baskets, and our eco cat and dog beds. So you use that material to do all of those products. But the second material is hemp. The best thing about hemp is it's not just sustainable. It doesn't need as much water as other eco materials growing industrial, when you're doing farming, it doesn't need much water as other materials. But the best thing about it is it doesn't need any pesticides, but it's also world's strongest natural vegan material available out there. And we don't have much knowledge about it. So we use that material to make our fish net market bags and our plastic free shopping ranges and yoga bags. And the final product and the material I want to talk about is jute. The best thing about jute is in a 1 hectare of plant of jute plantation production, it consumes 15 tons of CO2. And that's several times higher than trees. So, and it's also so durable, it's said it has a lifespan of 1,000 plastic carrier bags. So we use jute to make our market bag, beach bags, and also our baskets for wood basket to laundry basket to plant baskets. So everything we stand for as Planet Nature, which is inviting nature in and living in harmony with nature and people, all our products like has this same thread, whatever we do.
Great. And so, you know, you said the aim of these products are to promote responsible consumerism and help reduce water and plastic pollution. And I know you talked about it a little bit, but can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. So responsible consumerism is about, it's about product and people. So it's about having a ownership mentality with our products and what we buy, to repair it, to reuse it. And we just gone out of this mentality because of cheap fashion and everything is disposable. And it's also about people as well. And we have seen there is a powerful connection between treating things as disposable, cheap, and treating those people who make them as disposable. And what I mean by that is we need to give our craft people and factory workers the space to work. I mean, they're working in overcrowded factories. Most factories don't have minimal ventilation. They're high-rise camp with not many windows and not much health and safety. So if you remember the Rana Plaza blazing, and it brought down 7 floors of factory, clothing factory, killing 1,100 workers and mostly women. And this is the cost of fast fashion. So responsible consumerism is about how do we treat our products as well as how do we treat what respect we give to the people who make them as well. And just bringing attention and telling our consumers, this is what we're doing. We're giving the respect they deserve. We're not putting them in an overcrowded factory. They're not, there's enough ventilation. They have health and safety and the work is sustainable. And this work products we're making, you can repair them and you can reuse them. And if you want to repair, help with repair, you can come to us. We can repair it. Or we can give you manual or an instruction how to repair those products. But very briefly, I'm going to talk about plastic. Is just if we think about this, like by 2050, there will be more plastic bags measured in weights than fish in our oceans. And we are using 1 million, we are throwing away 1 million plastic bags every minute throughout the world. And we're also using 500 billion plastic bags a year. And that's shocking, 700 plastic bags per person on the planet. And I think it's time we need to bring to the world's attention that plastic is destroying our oceans and our marine life, and we need to do something about it. So it's just that, like, let's have ownership mentality with our products. Let's treat people well. And this ocean plastic pollution needs to be sorted, and we need to do something about it.
You talked a little bit about this, but what are some ways the COVID-19 pandemic really called attention to retail sustainability? And what are some ways you think, you know, after post-pandemic, perhaps retail sustainability will be better?
For me, I think it's just working in this industry, it's about supply chain and how we treat our producers, our workers. So for example, we have many sustainability issues, but one that had a lot of attention from media at the first stage of pandemic was the factory workers were losing their job throughout the world. And big retailers and groups were canceling contracts with factories. And I think factories were filled with goods, finished goods, warehouse finished with finished goods. But for some reason, their contracts were terminated and payment withheld. And because media brought attention to it, some of the contracts were reinstated and they got paid. But we in the West, we have I wouldn't say really good, but we have workers' rights. We have unionized workplace. And our government gives protection. And for example, here in UK, when we had the pandemic hit us, we got salary protection. We've got other kind of payments, but those countries we are producing, where we are making our products, that we don't, throughout the supply chain, throughout the world, I think European Union or United Nations or World Fair Trade Organization, there needs to be an attention to how we treat, terminate our contracts, how we treat our workers overseas, because we just have this mentality as retailers that they're out of sight, they're making our products, but they're out of mind, and no one will know what we're doing, and we are huge and big and we can get away with it. So I think supply chain and how we treat our producers should be something we're going forward, we have to put a lot of attention to.
Gotcha, that's so interesting. So let's shift gears a little bit. At Women in Retail, we're really big on professional development. So I'd love to know what you've learned about yourself since launching your own business.
Okay, I've learned a lot about myself. Okay, I've learned to be more resilient. And what I mean by that is that online e-commerce is complex and it has its own unexpected issues. And I would like to add that there is this misconception out there that e-commerce has it easy compared to high street shops. And along the way, the business took me out of my comfort zone, I would say. But I'm glad I stuck with it. And at the end, I know I'm creating a win-win situation for everyone, for our planet, the people, our suppliers, and our artisan and our producers. And I would say I've learned that I'm authentic, and it has its own currency being authentic, and it has its disadvantages and merits. But I believe that has and will drive our success. And what I mean by that is, do what you believe. At time, you will doubt yourself, But you have to bring people with you and listen to what they're saying and give them what they want. And that's what Planet Nature is all about. But something what really I got found quite challenging and hard to cope with is that, yes, I'm a woman entrepreneur and I don't come from a typical like retail background, and we're a small business. But what I find is I want to be profitable as other big businesses out there. Just because I'm fair trade and eco business doesn't mean I can't be profitable. And it's just dealing with the logistics, shipping, giving customers the same rate and price as other businesses is quite challenging. And then just finding way to get to our customers. I think that's something I'm really learned, that I want to be profitable, but I want to be an example to the world that you can be profitable, you can be fair trade, you can be a woman entrepreneur, and you can be a success. And I just don't know how to do it. Maybe I'm doing it, but I want to learn to do it better.
That's great insight. And I thought we could end off on, looking ahead, what are some retail and maybe fashion trends that you're predicting for 2021?
I believe we will continue our shopping online, but with the trends going online, there will be demand from customers. I think there will be big, huge demand regarding the providence of their goods and services and products. The brands that will be doing most well are the ones that are most transparent about it. Customers will want to know if the workers are getting a fair salary, good working condition, what kind of manufacturing processes are they using, and what kind of material are they using. And I think also with home working, people may have more time, and we already have a lot of time working from home. I think we will have more time going forward and space to be more creative and show our own individuality when it comes to design, both from consumers and designers. I think we are going to see some groundbreaking new designs and also challenges to existing fashion norms. I think it's going to be a kind of populism for fashion, and trends are going to be, occur, if you like, from bottom up, and big corporate fashion brands will be challenged in terms of, there's this concept in the fashion is that fashion is seasonal and the trends only last for 4 months or few months, like summer, spring, winter. I think that will be challenged by consumers, I think, yeah.
Well, Savina, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Women in Retail Talks and sharing on such an important topic.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. And I look forward to taking Planet Nature forward, and wish us luck.
Thanks for listening. For more information on this podcast, please check out our podcast channel page at womeninretail.com for show notes. Women in Retail Talks is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe on our podcast channel page as well. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a few moments to rate and review this podcast. Thanks, and until next time, this has been Women in Retail Talks.